Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We continue to look at a book, Confessions of a Molly Mormon, Trading Perfectionism for Peace, Fear for Faith, Judging for Joy, written by a Mormon woman named Ilana K. Shelley, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y. And it's an interesting read, and again, if you have not caught our earlier shows on this subject, the reason why I think it's important to read a book like this is because it gives you a layperson's perspective of their faith. Many times on this show, you'll notice, we want to go to what the leaders have said about Mormonism because the way it works in Mormonism, what the leaders say is what the Mormon membership must do. I don't get the impression that Ilana Shelley feels that same way. And this is, I think, the danger if you come across a woman from the Mormon Church, or even a man in the Mormon Church, who feels that they can reinterpret their Mormonism and try to make it either more palatable for them as individuals, or perhaps even more palatable to the Christian that the Mormon may talk to. And I would assure you, ladies, that if you have LDS friends, I would not be surprised at all if you have heard some things from your Mormon acquaintance that maybe they got from a book like this. The point is, Ilana Shelley, and I do feel for her in what she must have been going through before she wrote this book. I have utmost empathy for her. But I just don't think that she can be consistent by ignoring a lot of things that her own scriptures say and by a lot of things that her leaders have said. In yesterday's show, I ended with a question because she talks about how her own scripture affected her and how all of a sudden she just had a whole change of outlook regarding those same scriptures that she was reading before that were causing her so much despair. She says on page 26, I was able to view them, the scripture, as words of encouragement rather than words of condemnation. Their warnings became words of love rather than angry threats. I realized that the scripture were designed to help me avoid pain and suffering and to show me how to joyfully receive the companionship of the Spirit. I ended the show yesterday by asking the question, well, how did she do this? I mean, the scriptures still read the same. But I think we need to understand, what are scriptures to the Latter-day Saint? What is Scripture? Well, 10th President Joseph Fielding Smith answers this question in his book, Doctrines of Salvation, Volume 1, page 186. He says, when one of the brethren stands before a congregation of the people today, and the inspiration of the Lord is upon him, he speaks that which the Lord would have him speak. It is just as much scripture as anything you will find written in any of these records, and yet we call these the standard works of the church. So, scripture in Mormonism not only includes the four standard works, the Bible, which the Mormon Church uses the King James Version, but it also includes the Book of Mormon, the Doctrine and Covenants, and the Pearl of Great Price. Add to that also what a Mormon leader may say, for instance, in general conference. That also become the words of the Lord, or the words of Scripture to the Latter-day Saint. A lot of what Michelle, I think, is having problems with are things that are found in both of those categories, either the written word, the standard works, or the verbal word, Scripture given by Mormon leaders.
Let's stick right now with the standard works. Unique standard works, the Book of Mormon, the Doctrine and Covenants, and the Pearl of Great Price. Listen to what she says in this, what I think is a strange story, on page 23. She says, when I was young, few people carried their scriptures to church with them. Many families didn't even have a complete set of scriptures in their homes. My dad kept his black leather Bible and triple combination safely out of reach on an upper shelf in our living room. We weren't allowed to touch them unless he was sitting next to us on the couch. Though Daddy's regard for the scriptures was obvious, to my young mind they were mysterious and intimidating. The language was strange, and the delicate pages were filled with countless rules you had to follow if you wanted to get into the celestial kingdom.
I agree with you that this is kind of a strange story, because what I get out of this is she didn't have her own copy of the scriptures.
Well, apparently it says many families didn't even have a complete set. So I don't know how many years ago this was, 40 or 50 years ago. And it doesn't seem like what most families would have today. Most families are going to be carrying, each member of the family is going to carry their scriptures to church.
But that is a strange story. When she talks about the language, it was strange, and the delicate pages were filled with countless rules you had to follow if you wanted to get into the celestial kingdom.
I think maybe that contributed to what she says was fear of these scriptures.
So anyway, as I asked that question towards the end of yesterday's show, how did she come to the point in her life where the scriptures were comforting to her rather than threatening to her? Because the scriptures still read the same. And the way Mormon leaders are interpreting those scriptures in their verbal sermons, I would say probably very threatening. I mean, I find many of the things that Mormon leaders have said in their sermons to be quite appalling and very threatening if you're a Latter-day Saint.
Really quick, let me just give you what is being said about what needs to be accomplished. 1 Nephi 3:7, I will go and do the things which the Lord hath commanded, for I know that the Lord giveth no commandments unto the children of men, save he shall prepare a way for them that they may accomplish the thing which he commandeth them.
So if God commands a Latter-day Saint to do a certain thing, accomplish it. Otherwise, he wouldn't have given that commandment in the first place. What that really does is, I think, put the responsibility squarely on the shoulders of the Latter-day Saint. So when they talk to you and you ask them, well, are you keeping all the commandments? And they say, well, I'm trying. Well, wouldn't the fault still be on them? Because according to 1 Nephi 3:7, he's not going to give a Mormon a commandment they shouldn't keep. So if they say they're trying, which means they're failing, then obviously the responsibility is theirs. It's not God's, it's theirs. They should be able to do this. But there are other verses in Mormon scripture that are equally troubling.
Let me go to Doctrine and Covenants, section 1, verses 31 and 32. For I, the Lord, cannot look upon sin with the least degree of allowance. Nevertheless, he that repents and does the commandments of the Lord shall be forgiven.
So you have to repent, do the commandments of the Lord, and then in that order, it says, you will receive the forgiveness that you need. Obviously, the question is raised, well, how many commandments must I keep and how many sins must I repent of? And we have said it time and time again on this show. A Mormon is going to tell you you need to repent of all your sins and you need to keep all the commandments. Now, I don't think that Michelle thinks so, but the point is that's what her leaders have taught. They have taught this specifically. And I think DNC 131 that you just read is making it very clear that if you want forgiveness in a Mormon context, you better repent of all your sins. And of course, the definition is you confess and forsake them, not just one, all of them. And you must keep the commandments if you hope to get that forgiveness of your sins.
This is repeated over and over again. Doctrine and Covenants, section 42, verse 78. And again, every person who belongeth to this church of Christ shall observe to keep all the commandments and covenants of the church. And Bill, the way that you understand what those covenants and commandments are, the church leaders certainly are more than happy to tell you twice a year at General Conference, here's all that you're supposed to do. How are you doing at that?
Here's what's troubling when I read a book like this. And again, I want to express my empathy for Alana Shelley and the struggles that she was going through. The problem, of course, is she does not have any authority whatsoever to override or to correct her leaders, and certainly she doesn't have any authority to correct her scriptures. If this is what they are saying, they meaning her leaders and her scriptures, then it's not up to her to pick and choose which ones she likes and which ones she does not like. In the Messages of the First Presidency, in Volume 6, page 55, it makes this statement. It says, "You are not, whether high or low, to change the doctrines of the church or to modify them as they are declared by and in the standard works of the church and by those whose authority it is to declare the mind and will of the Lord to the church. The Lord has declared that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
In other words, this is not a postmodern church that you can just make your own interpretation up based on your own preferences, your own presuppositions. I don't like this, I don't like that, I'm cutting that out. According to the leadership, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to change not only the standard works, but those who speak for the church in authority to interpret what those standard works say.
Now, I think if we were to say what we just said to Miss Shelley, she would probably respond by saying, but wait a minute, I'm not trying to change the doctrines of the church. Well, maybe not on an official level, you're not, but certainly I would say that in your own mind, you're doing some kind of a change. Because those same verses that said one thing to you years ago don't mean the same thing to you now. Somewhere, a change was made, an alteration was made to where now you claim you get comfort from these verses, whereas before they only caused you fear. J. Reuben Clark, who was a member of the First Presidency, and this is found in a book called Teachings of the Living Prophets. It came out in 1982, page 13, and I might mention, this is a correlated manual. It's seen a revision since 1982, but this is what Latter-day Saints were being told back in the 1980s.
When anyone except the president of the church undertakes to proclaim that any scripture of the church has been modified, changed, or abrogated, we may know he is not, quote, moved upon by the Holy Ghost, end quote, unless he is acting under the direct authority and direction of the president.
So if that's the case, I can only wonder if a general authority was to read pages 23, 24, and 25 in her book, would a general authority agree with her conclusions? I would assume they wouldn't, because any general authority who has spoken enough times in general conference has probably contradicted what she says on these pages on numerous occasions. Is it safe for any Latter-day Saint to follow her instructions in this book if they conflict with what the leadership has said? I would say no, it wouldn't be a way that is safe. While I again can sympathize with the struggles that Ilana K. Shelley went through in writing those pages, I don't think she's being consistent in how she rectified the problem. And that, of course, is something that every Latter-day Saint needs to consider.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. As with most Christian organizations, Mormonism Research Ministry depends on the generous financial support of friends like you. If you like what we do and how we do it, would you consider helping MRM meet its financial obligations? Merely go to our website, mrm.org. At the right, you'll see a donate button. Click there and follow the instructions. MRM is a Christian nonprofit 501c3 organization, and your gifts are tax deductible. Not only that, they are greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support of this ministry.